Live from Cape Town, this is the Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM. The Leadership Hour.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. It's Ihsan Higgins here with the Leadership Hour, and tonight we have Hanif Kamish. Assalamualaikum, Hanif.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Thanks for having me over.
Hanif, we previously had you on the show. We spoke about some of the issues that we are faced with in the communities pertaining to drugs. And you are currently, just to refresh the memory of the listeners, you are currently with an outfit called Tawakkul.
Yeah, I'm with Tawakkul Rehabilitation Center. We deal with the addiction and substance abuse in the southern suburbs.
Okay, just southern suburbs.
Well, we're based in southern suburbs, but we generally try and focus on southern suburbs people, but it's from all over. We had patients from the UK come in, a Muslim guy from overseas, and also from Johannesburg, Durban, all around the country. But
now, Ghanif, yeah. What is your role there at the...
I'm the manager of the... of the center, and I also do a bit of therapy, and I manage mostly the center.
Okay, so you manage, and how many people do you have working there?
Well, we have a staff of 5, and that's basically your management and your therapist, and we also have a psychologist that
comes. And how many people that are there that's currently on drugs?
Patients.
Let's call them patients.
Yeah, I've had some serious names go inmates and prisoners and all this.
Yeah.
But yeah,
they are patients. So for the purpose of this program, we'll call them patients.
They are patients because they are suffering from an illness. And it's called addiction, and therefore, lots of medical aids tend to pay for it because it's seen as
So medical aids actually pay for these
things?
Yes,
they do, if you are of the fortunate, yes. But yes, currently we have 28 patients that are in. We try and not have too many. I mean, no other rehabs have anyway between...
So you say 28 people?
28 patients, yes.
Okay, and where do they stay? And
we have our facility set up? Our facility does have accommodation for up to 35.
And how many people share a room?
It's one main hall.
Like a dormitory?
Like a dormitory. That's for the seniors. And then there's a secondary... Where you come in, it's called the detox room. That's when you come in and you go through your detox process. And what we do infrared sauna, so we can flush out all the toxins out of the bodies for the first week, and also the medication. So they're not lacquer when they come in. They generally, very grumpy.
And how do they come in? Do they book themselves in, or their parents bring them, or their spouses bring them?
Look, very rarely you find somebody coming in and saying, listen, I need help. That's the vocal version. But every patient I know is always looking for help, but just cannot verbalize it. Mainly the family or the loved ones, the wife, the mother, the father, the sometimes brothers and sisters, they bring in the patients.
And do the patients come in willingly? Do they do they resist it? Or is it something you must tie them up and bring them into your facility? Well, how does it work?
I'd say many a times, mostly they're very not willing, but I say that's the drug saying no. It's not time to give up yet. But inside, once I get to sit with them for a few minutes, or I come out to their houses and I speak to them, we can convince them that this is the time, because every addict literally is yearning to stop. No addict goes out there and says, okay, I'm going to do the substance and I'm going to lose all my stuff that I have. Everything I own, I will lose. I'm going to sell my shoes, lose my kids, lose my home, lose my stuff, work and lose all my money. No addict really wants to be there. No person actually wants to be there. But the addict in itself gets... trapped. And the most perfect word or description for addiction is the Afrikaans version. It's verslaafde. an enslaved, an enslaved person, enslaved by substance. And the term slave means to do something against your will, which is exactly what happens to an addict. He doesn't want to steal your stuff. He doesn't want to break into your car. He doesn't want to be a criminal. He never really want to. And a lot of people say it's a choice. Yes, the first time they smoke that weed, dacha. The first time, yeah, to have a good time, yeah, with the peer pressure, yeah, you know, that was a choice initially. But nobody really says, okay, I choose to be a bechi, because that's where it's going.
Okay, so when there was a homeless person, when they've lost everything, and now the question is, where do these people get the money? I mean, drugs are not a cheap commodity. It's an expensive commodity.
You know, Ihsan, part of my sessions that I focus on is these individuals are the most manipulative people in the world. And very resourceful. Every addict, or most addicts, generally 99% of them wake up in the morning and they're on a negative. They probably on a negative or
negative
zero.
Money, okay.
Negative money, yeah. They probably owe the merchants still from yesterday. But tonight they've used 100 rand, or 1,000 rand, or 500 rand, or 300 rand. Where do they get it? Every day. You don't just...
So if you take that, that's what, on average, maybe about 3,000 to 4,000 a month you need.
Yeah.
When you're a regular user.
If you're a regular user, at minimum.
And that's the cheap drugs.
Very cheap drugs, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Look, the high-end users, 3-4 grand a day.
Well, I know of high-end users was using about 10,000 a day.
Yes, that's on a binge. Yeah. Mm. Give him 10 days, he'll be dead.
Yeah.
But yeah, and this is what they go through. They are so resourceful. They are clever. But they are, you know, they have intelligence because they're supposed to come in and they need to see maybe on you, son, what am I going to gain from you? Where's your watch? Where's your phone? Where's your... And the families know this. When he comes into the room, then they're always like, you know, I was looking for my purse. And then they grab their purse because they know here's danger. Okay. They do steal.
Radio station, your radio station, our radio station, 91.3 FM and 95.8 FM stereo. The Leadership Hour.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are back with the Leadership Hour. We got with me Hanif Kamish from the organization called Tawakkal, and they are taking the lead in the fight against drugs, the scourge of drugs that has been with us for a very, very long time, but it seems like we are losing the battle. For some reason, it looks like there's more drug addicts now than there was maybe 10, 20 years ago.
Ihsan, that seems to be the truth. And the consequences of that is that there's very little education at school about it. Everybody knows about it. Mm-hmm. But the teachers and the schools are full. As you know, there's 40, 50 children in the class. There's not enough time to educate them on the normal syllabus. Now to still bring in drug education. And the homes they come from are wrecked.
So you're saying people that come from homes where there's two parents, two loving parents in a loving environment, that are you saying that no drugs happen in that environment?
No, they do. They are. Drugs don't choose. Not race, not creed, not color, not religion. But the easier targets for addiction
is the broken home.
Okay. And as we know, you know, in the...
Isn't that a cop out? Isn't that maybe just an excuse? Oh no, my parents are divorced, and therefore I have decided I'm going to go on drugs. It just sounds like an excuse. And I don't mean to be insensitive.
It is an excuse, and it's a valid one for using. Because that patient, that person, that addict doesn't know what to do with his feelings. And being in a broken home, You know, nowadays, so many broken homes, so many. Who do they turn to? Where are the role models? Where's anything? You know, where's the education in schools, like I was saying earlier on, to steer clear of this? They know that drugs are bad, but, you know, in social media and all of these things, they, even in our songs today, weed is, they just blur out the blunt on the videos. Fool, what's his name? The rapper that brought in the actual lean, which is the mixture of the cough syrup and the codeine tablets and all this. Yeah, I spoke about the
logic. So this person, don't mention his name, I mean, but of course people know who we're talking about if you follow rap.
Yes.
Did this person like kind of glorify?
He started it, and in many other songs, the verses explicitly explain how to actually do it. It's called Shazup in American.
What's it called? Shazup?
Shazup, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's made to sound cool, and he's been on this all day, and he's been sipping that in this club and in that place and in that country on his plane. You know, so it's made to sound cool, and it's made on here locally. I mean, you go to the pharmacy, you buy these codeine tablets, cough mixture, and jelly tots in a bottle and a fizzy drink, and there you go. The same as
what?
Heroin. Exactly the same.
Is it?
Exactly.
So it takes you on a down.
It takes you on a down.
Okay.
And that's, as I explained last time, two or three girls were found in the field, on the school field, and there was a whole expose about them, about being on this medicated stuff.
And so what happened? Just recap quickly.
These girls were found passed out on the school field, something like that, at the school in the southern suburbs. And then it was like nearly as if it was new, but it wasn't new. I've been dealing with this for 3-4 years now, where pharmaceutical companies or pharmacists actually just sell without prescription.
But that's illegal, isn't it?
It is. Xanax and all these things.
Okay, so now, you know what, it's easy for one to blame the pharmaceutical company, but, I mean, in this instance, they have certain codes, they have certain ways of doing this. In fact, there's an ethical code to say, right, pharmacists can only, if it's a scheduled drug, like this Schedule 4, there must be a prescription. Are you saying that our pharmacists are actually flouting those rules?
Yes. Money tops ethics anytime. So
it's not ideal, but now let's assume you know of this particular pharmacist who actually sells certain pharmaceutical products that's Schedule 4, for instance, or higher. What would be the whose responsibility is it to go report this pharmacist?
Well, it should be the community itself, because...
No, but now, when you say community, it sounds too wide. As I'm just, hala say, or they say.
Yeah, it's hala,
you know,
yeah.
We don't know who they are, we don't know who hala is.
I can't go around and go closing pharmacists, because that's what I would like to do. But
you are what I would call an interested party.
Yes.
You have people at your place, your patients, who's been the victim of the misconduct or the unethical conduct of certain professionals.
Yeah. You know, it nearly feels like a pointless arrow that you want to fire, but yes, something needs to be done about it, and I'm dealing with the end result.
Well, it's on the radio right now, and of course, parents must listen to this. Yes. And of course, if any of those parents have a son or a daughter that's involved somewhat with drugs, then maybe they should be the ones, you know, doing the reporting.
That's what I'm talking about, the actual community or the people who are affected and afflicted by this. Look, the kids are 13, 14, 15. Those are the targeted areas of those, the lean. Because the older addicts don't do that. They already progressed to tuk and unga and Taga and everything else.
Okay, now, Ghani, this is after the break. We're going to go for a quick ad break now. When we come back, I want you to talk a little bit about the different names of these drugs. And, of course, so that parents and spouses who's listening to this can be alert when they hear somebody talking over the phone and they speak in code.
Live from Cape Town, this is the Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM. The Leadership Hour.
And we are back with the Leadership Hour. I've got with me Hanif Kamish, and we're talking about drugs and conscientizing people, the innocent victims of the scourge, you know, like the parents, the spouses, the children, who has to face up to the reality of living with an addict, with, as Hanif called them, patients. Hanif, now, a lot of these people, they speak in code, you know. I mean, I've heard various names for Taga. I mean, people love calling it weed. They call it zoot. They call it,
blunts, cheese, yeah.
They call it all. Give us some more of these names. I mean, you come across all these things. So
look, the first common thing is the, when they use meds, is a term used, I need my meds. You okay. know, meds being anything that's being used in their line or in their drug of choice. Mm-hmm. So meds can refer to not just meds as in the lean, but it can be my weed or it can be my unga, it can be my drug of choice. Mm-hmm. And generally, a drug of choice, meaning the individual's personal liking to a certain mm-hmm. substance. Mm-hmm. So drug of choice being the common denominator, yeah, what we use in our therapy. But the names, cheese being referred to for weed, plants being referred to joints, tuk, unga,
Hanif, what is shrooms?
Shrooms is a mushroom grown, actual mushroom, which is grown for, and it gives, it's a drug, but it actually, it's like a hallucinatory drug.
Okay,
know?
This is one of the listeners, she sent a message to say, what about shrooms? My husband uses shrooms and he becomes evil. I'm so scared of him.
Yes,
he believes that shrooms helps with depression and makes you delve into your inner being. I was violently attacked and he becomes psychotic.
Yeah, shrooms are pretty dangerous at times if not used correctly. Mm-hmm. There is a medical usage for the shrooms, but mm-hmm. unfortunately it's being used as a party drug. Mm-hmm. And I know of people who actually use shrooms for medical purposes. Mm-hmm. But it's not allowed, but there are illnesses that requires the usage of the shroom.
Where do you get shrooms? I mean, do you go into the field and pick it up?
No, it's only, yeah, they can try it and they'll die. It's not those little red mushrooms or naughty, you know. It's a packet of, it looks like dried mushrooms, mm-hmm. like potuccino mushrooms. But it's dried and it's chewed, like, you know, it's eaten. Mm-hmm. And people have hallucinations and highs and it takes them off into another universe, I'd say. That's the shroom itself.
Okay.
No. It's illegal. Mm-hmm. It's an illegal. Just like Taga.
It's illegal and you can get arrested.
You can go to jail, yeah. Okay. Just like Taga, it's not legal. It's mm-hmm. not legal. I'm dealing at the moment with several cases. At the moment, five definite cases of psychosis in my rehabilitation center directly as a result of only weed.
Of weed only?
Weed.
So, I know, so, how do you say it? Taga.
Taga.
So, people smoke taga and they're like,
yeah, they're like, definitely mal. Mm.
Like, so if a son tells a mother, mommy, yeah, but it's legal in the sense it's all right to rook, and the mother says, okay, I'm going to rook it in the yard. It's wrong. I get mal with it.
It's wrong. Mm. Like I mentioned last time, the study by several universities around the world has come to the conclusion that there's definite psychosis related to weed, mm-hmm. to tacha. And in the old days here, we used to say the ones who are nails in hare and the tacha paper, that's a
old wives tale.
That's a very old wives tale, because the guy that actually got mad, it's because he was triggered into psychosis by this by tacha.
Okay, now the other thing that's prevalent in the Western Cape, especially, is mandrakes. How prevalent is that at this point in time?
Wow, it's used now a lot with tick. So what they use is they tick, they go up, they have a high, and then they smoke buttons to come down. So it's a normal cocktail. Those two go together. Unless you saw up and down, up and down, they can never be on a constant. So there are some that only use tick, and there's some that only use buttons. But nowadays the mixture is like, you know, the cocktail that goes together.
Okay, now Ganesh, just quickly, this cocktail is people to, I mean, there's obviously a belief that people use rat poison, they use chlorine, they use whatever. Is this true or is it a myth?
You know, no, it's kind of true. They use any powdery substance to cut the to make the powder that they make the buttons from.
So how much of these things are active ingredients?
Well, very little percentage of it.
So if you're lucky, if you get a 2% active ingredient.
Yeah, I think.
And the rest is like something that you got in the cupboard.
Exactly, it's fine. And so they use any kind of powder material to actually increase their profits and cut the product into.
And are people dying, or is it? Are you? Do you just wake up the next morning?
Susalani Oda has said that I wake up dead. But yes, a lot of them are.
I find
reports of people overdosing a lot.
It would be interesting to get the stats on where does one find these stats?
You see, the thing is, with the families, they don't say much about this. It's a disgraceful thing if you sign
up. So nobody says it was an OD on drugs, it's from natural causes.
Yeah.
But isn't that a fraud in itself to say you died of natural causes if you died on an OD?
So how would you like to leave your son's memory?
Yeah, but shouldn't the doctor sign these things off?
Yeah, but you're not going to give the doctor's report that he's janaza, are you?
Okay, and Ghanif, we're gonna go into our last segment, and we're going to talk a little bit more about some of these questions that came through now.
Live from Cape Town, this is the Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM. Leadership Hour.
And we are now with our final segment of the Leadership Hour. I've got Ghanef Kamish with me, and we're talking about drugs. And of course, it's a very real issue. It's affecting our communities. It's affecting our households. And and of course, there's a huge move to fight drugs. And Ghanef is one of the leaders of that fight. You know, I mean, he's been working with people for a very long time. And, you know, he knows all the tricks of the trade. And it's quite sad, you know, that our young people, besides being exposed to drugs, what goes with that, they get exposed to strange characters. They get exposed to gangsters, drug dealers. They get exposed to places like Paulsmoor. They get exposed to even longer term prison sentences for drugs. And of course, they also end up learning tricks of the trade. In terms of how to get money if you have nothing.
Yes, of course, Ihsan. You know, like we said earlier, they're very manipulative, and they have to learn how to survive, and the law doesn't play a part here in what you do to get drugs. They'll steal anything. You know, it generally starts in and around your home, where your stuff starts getting missing, your first money, and you become wary of your purse, and it's your phone or the tools. I've come into homes where the grocery cupboards have locks on. I've come into homes where the TV is chained and bolted to the walls. And we're not talking about flat screen TVs here. We're talking about the old telefunkens chained to the walls because there's nothing left in the house to steal. But yes, they steal, and they obviously, after they've depleted the family's home, they go out about and stealing everything else, breaking into cars, breaking into houses, learning how to shoplift and that kind of thing. And that's where they start ending up in jail.
I had a funny incident. I mean, many years ago, I had a parent that came to me, and his son was arrested for shoplifting. And of course, I assumed it was a shoplifting case, so we'll you know, and see what he stole. Turns out that the investigating officer refused to give him bail. So I said, why? He said, no, it's not shoplifting, it's fraud. So I said, no, man, how can it be fraud? So he said, because that falls under another schedule, which means you must appear in court. What this young, I mean, really, he's a 16-year-old, he was sent to a rehab. And then when he came out of the rehab, of course, this rehab, I don't think it was an accredited rehab or anything like that. And they apparently kept something like 50 boys in one room, something weird like that. But when he came out, he actually went to a shopping center, and he collected a till slip outside of the shopping center. Then he chose the most expensive item on that till slip, and he went to shoplift that particular item. Then he wanted to exchange this particular item for money or a gift voucher. His unfortunate situation was the cameras picked him up shoplifting that particular thing. So I'm thinking, how would a 16-year-old know these things? I mean, he was obviously taught this inside of the rehab, because he would not have known how to do that, a scam like that. I mean, that is part of what you were talking about earlier on, this resourcefulness.
Yes, this resourcefulness does get around, and not just in the rehab, a lot of these things are learned on the streets. I mean, the numbers and this kind of thing is now no more allocated just to inside the prisons. It's outside on the streets. I mean, apparently nowadays you can get your number on the street corner, and there you get taught how to do these things, and you first got to deal and do deeds before you can belong to the gangs and this kind of thing, and all this information and stuff gets passed around. But getting back to what it actually does is, there's a very important issue that I'd like to bring forward, is that the economical effects it has, the socioeconomic effects it has on our community. If the parents are on drugs,
mm-hmm.
one of the parents, or even both, they lose their jobs, the house becomes... And this is what we deal with all the time in the lower income communities. Me and Sheikh Shane actually goes around and go, we can inform the communities of the scourge of the drugs. And what we find is that the parents nowadays are young parents.
Mm. When you say young, what are we talking about?
We're talking about 30, 35 mm-hmm. with teenage children already.
Okay,
you know?
So they had kids when they were kids.
They were kids, and now they are, they're not leaders in the households. They caught on drugs, or one of the parents caught, and it just has a terrible chain effect right down to the kids that are now growing up.
And if I wish I could sit with you longer and, you know, talk, but unfortunately we've run out of time, and we are obviously going to have you again on so that we can learn a little bit more about the scourge of drugs and the things that these patients get up to. So just quickly give us your contact details so that whoever has a problem can maybe, you know, ask you for advice, or you can take it from there.
Okay, it's Tawakul Rehab Center, and the easiest info is Google. You can Google tawakulrehab.org.
I'm not going to Tawakul spell it.
TAWAKKUL, Tawakul Rehab. And my number is 079-606-9577. And yes,
we're on. Repeat the number again.
079-606-9577. And we're on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. And yes, it's very easy to contact us. And we are always available. Like we say, drugs have no time. Neither do we.
Okay, so Hanif, shukran very much. And shukran to the listeners for allowing myself and Hanif to serve this community. And from my side, Ihsan Higgins. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The Leadership Hour. The Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM stereo.